It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hope you're weathering the storm. We finally, winter has arrived. And just one note to the positive there. You know, that doesn't stop the grilling season. You just got to adapt. And we may talk a little bit about that today. But Barbecue Bob has got a new job, and he's doing some training for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm fortunate enough to called on Tim Sobey of Sobey Meats to join us. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here. So Bob's still trainable, is he?
Well, you know what? There's some company out there that thinks so, but it's just the first week. So by 3 weeks, they'll know. They'll know for sure. No, but anyway, he's going to be gone for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and we're gonna play around a little bit without him. But we miss him, and he'll be back. So, but anyway, Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats. It wouldn't be appropriate to do anything other than this is going to be the meat show. And we're going to run up and down your meat case, some 70, 80 feet of it. I don't know. I've never measured it, but it's a long one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's full of just yummy, yummy stuff. So, but before I get started, I'll tell you that I wanted to thank you again for the prime rib that you prepared for my family. I ended up doing that on Christmas Day, which was wonderful. But you gave me a 10-pound prime rib. You took the bones off. You seasoned it with, I'm going to ask you what it was, because I think it was probably, what was it, your beef rub?
Tim's Blend.
Tim's Blend, yeah. You seasoned it very well, trussed the bones back on it, and then gave it to me ready to eat. I mean, that is like the quintessential butcher prep for a prime rib. Now, did you sell a bunch of those?
Oh, yeah. What we have probably between the standing prime rib and right. The boneless, probably about 60 cases,
wow.
70 cases.
And there's a dozen, 10 of them, 8 of them in a case? Five in a case, yeah.
Yeah. And you know that with the bone on like that standing prime rib,
yep.
As I always say, the bones act like an insulator,
right,
to help protect that ribeye,
yep.
So it's done more how you like it,
yeah,
and it holds it up off the pan, so you don't need a rack,
right.
The bones are the rack,
right,
and then you get the flavor from the bone that goes into the meat, and then you just cut the strings, the ribeye comes off, and you're ready to carve it. And then there's all that succulent goodness on the bone yet
to eat
when you're done.
Yeah, that was I cut those. I think I had a 5-bone is what I had, and I cut those, and there was a little fight over them,
yeah.
Because there were 6 of us there. And ironically, my wife is the first one to step up and take one. That is her favorite thing about a standing rib roast, is to be able to get that sweet meat right there that's near to the bone. So it's awesome. It's just really cool. Now, I would like to know how you cook one of those, and then I'll tell you how I did it, because I think there's multiple ways, but we may be doing it the same.
You know, and there's, as I would say, there's no wrong way to do it.
Right.
And that prime rib, I mean, it's such, and obviously overcooking it, so you can almost back over it with a truck or burn it before you're going to ruin it,
kind of
a thing. But ours really is a very simple method. And when you got the holidays, everybody's gathered around. So we've said many, many times, one of the most important tools you want to have is a good digital meat thermometer.
Absolutely.
Get it to the middle. And then we just put it in a 250-degree oven. Don't cover it. No water in a pan, nothing. Just put it on. Actually, you could even use a cookie sheet, because there's not that much drippings that comes off.
That's right.
Put it in that oven. And then we'll set the internal temp to like 100. I usually go to 120 degrees to start.
Right.
And then that's when that goes off. That's the warning. You better get the green beans, casserole, ready,
there
whatever
you
that
go,
is.
Yeah.
Last minute prep, because no disrespect, but the meat is the god of the meal. And
oh,
when
yeah,
the meat's
yeah.
ready, It's time to eat.
Start the show.
I don't care about the taters and the, the greeny beanies.
Well, and that stuff all holds in the oven, too. I mean, you can get it done half hour ahead of time. It'll be just as good.
Yeah.
Right? But the meat has to be done properly.
Yeah, and then an internal temp, if it's us guys, we'll usually go at 125 degrees internal temp.
Right.
As we know, it's going to go up about 5 degrees. But for the gals, we'll go to 130.
Yeah.
And it comes out, to me, just perfect every time.
Yeah. So, conversely, I did a reverse or a sear, a front end sear, and then put it on the smoker. So I lit my oven up to 450, set that in there on a rack with on a cookie sheet, just like you said, because all the marbling is in the meat. It's not, you know, you trim that a little bit of fat. There's a cap on it, and you want that, right? But you trim that down for us, so there isn't a lot of rendering that's going on in this roast. But I was in there for about 30 minutes on 450 to just sear the outside of it to get a little bit of a crust on with your seasonings, right? And then I took it outside at 250 and put it on the big green egg smoker.
Okay.
And with that sear, I don't get a lot of smoke flavor, but it's frees up. I'm a one-oven household, right? And when I've got lots of other dishes that need to go in my oven to get finished for the meal, there, you know, squash and potatoes and beans, like all the stuff that everybody has, I free up that space by using the big green egg. And if you don't have a Kamado smoker, they are basically a convection oven is all they are. I mean, you can regulate the temperature. 250 was my number two. Did exactly like you said. Made sure that probe was all the way to the middle of that, because that's where it's going to get hot the slowest.
Yeah,
and went to 125, just like you said.
Yeah.
I've got a couple daughter-in-laws, or one daughter-in-law, rather, that likes it more done. So when you do something like that, then you get the ends that are more done, and as you cut towards the center, you get to the medium-rare cut.
Yeah.
Turned out wonderful. But it was all in the prep, and that's why I wanted to give you, you know, kudos for that, because the seasoning was wonderful, and it did, you know, crisp up a little bit when I put it in that. So it's amazing. Just amazing.
And actually, and I'm going to take a step back. How I said is how I do it.
Yep.
We were over to our son's for Christmas Day, and he went out and lit up the grill, and then he put a sear on it, on the grill, then went to the oven with it. So it was fantastic. And that was one of our American Wagyu ribeyes off that local beef, and all that stuff, it's hard to beat it, I'll tell you what.
Oh, man, yeah. And it's trimmed so perfectly and just ready to go. And if you made the mistake and bought a big box prime rib for $10.99, maybe that was what was in your budget and good for you. But there's a difference. Just let me tell you, there's a difference in that Wagyu beef, and it's, you know, properly trimmed, properly seasoned, put back together with a... Man, it's, you know, it's Christmas, right? I mean, for me, I can't eat like that every day, right? But boy, on special occasions, it's so much fun just to have you guys pull together that perfect roast, and the look on people's faces when you pull that thing out and set it on the table, you know, it's just amazing.
All this talk about is making my mouth water, my stomach growl. I got to tell you, Zap, it's Christmas again.
Yeah, right. It can be. You know, there's all kinds of special occasions. Hey, you know what? Valentine's Day is coming up, but that's only a meal for two, maybe. But anyway, so how you been, man? You had a little health bout, and you came out of it. You look great. You feel good?
Yeah, feeling good. So survived that. That was a close call. So,
right, yep.
If I was a cat, you know, I had a couple other ones I burned up through the years. I know I have two or three lives left now.
Yeah, right. Well, you're here, and that's the beautiful part about it. So I'm so glad that worked out, because we were all praying for you as you went through all of that. But so for the rest of the show, we're going to go up and down the meat counter. And I made some guesses on what's in there. I know there's beef. I know there's poultry. There's pork. You know, you've got your ground meats, and then of course the favorite end is all the smoked treats that are, you know, the sticks and the jerkies and all that other stuff. But I'm sure I missed some stuff along the way. So as we continue through the show, I just want to bounce around the meat counter a little bit, and I want to talk about maybe what part of the animal some of the beef comes from, why it's tender, why it might not be so tender, but what the value is in all of that. So if we can do that, I take this opportunity for our listeners to really dive into what the butcher knows. And because I didn't know all this stuff till I met you, and I still don't know it all, but that's why you're here. So
nice.
So we can talk of that. But you listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're all over Jethro. We're on the interweb, and Bob's on X, so it's all good. But we appreciate you tuning in. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in. If you missed the first segment, Barbecue Bob is out today. So I got Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats joining me. Always a great time. Appreciate you coming in, Tim.
Yeah, good to be here on a good snowy day, right?
Yeah, right. And finally got some winter. We got a little snap in the air. I'm okay with that. I you know, if I got to have a little winter, I like it to be all winter, not that sloppy, muddy junk that we were dealing with before. But if you've not been to Sobey Meats over on Remembrance Road, what's
3450.
Right, Remembrance Northwest. Just a little bit north of Leonard Street on Remembrance. But this is an incredible place. I remember when you started, it's evolved into it's a meat market with a lot of groceries.
Yep.
But the great thing about that is most of the stuff is homemade, right? I mean, you got to have, you know, wheat thins, right? But the dips and the sauces and, of course, all the meats and some, you know, you got crocky in there and yeah, things like that. That, and what is that anyway, for people that don't know? We're listening to a Polish audience. I mean, we got a lot of, with the Polka Pops on this, so sure, they all know. But
yeah, yeah. So krakuska, and that's a Polish lunch meat.
Right.
And if you look at it, at first you think, boy, those are big hunks of gristle in there. They're actually, there's a separate plate that we grind it in that's about the size of, you know, you play the little tabletop what's the
checkers?
No. We bounce the ball in the beer.
Oh, yeah, beer pong.
Beer pong. Thank you very much. Yeah. And so it's really, really coarse like that, where you could put those in that cup.
Okay.
And it's just pieces of solid, lean pork loin meat. So it's extremely good. A lot of garlic in it.
Right.
And it's probably about 98% lean. So it's very healthy for you. And it's a great thing all by itself. Or combine it with any other lunch meat. So if you want ham and cracky or roast beef, turkey breast, whatever that
right,
is. And
because it does have a pronounced garlic flavor, yes, to it. But that's what I want to talk about, is that's packed there. It's made there. And then you slice it. And that's why it looks like they're big hunks of solid pork muscle.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. The pork loin meat. Yes.
Right. Yep. Uh-huh. And that's smoked, right?
Yep.
So right there at the shop. Very cool. So let's start at one end of the I'm going to save the best for last. I like all the smoked snack sticks and jerky. But let's start at the beef end. What's going on with beef prices right now? I mean, it's everything, right?
Yeah, and they're high. And I'll say the rumor on the street, it's going to stay high, unfortunately. So if there was something that was on sale, if you grab, you're going to have one for the weekend, throw another one in for the freezer. So
right,
you don't have to get a quarter or a side of beef at one time. You can get a little bit at a time.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is throw it away. It's way too expensive to do that. But coming out of the holidays, we had a couple of short kill weeks. But there are basically five big producers that were trying to, and I'll say the word was getting out, whistleblowers. They were trying to get basically a monopoly on the beef market. They're still trying. And now they're buying up small farms. China's coming in. So remember that when you're supporting China, you might be shooting yourself in the foot because they're buying up all these farms and, you know, people don't know who it is that owns the farm. It's a conglomerate, basically.
Right.
And then they can control, they know how much feed to make to get X amount of beef per week all the way up through until it's slaughter time. So be very, very careful.
And they can control the market with the amount the input equals the output price.
Sure. And then that's it. The biggest thing is we know it all gets down to money.
Yeah.
And then they got control over the pricing. So then we're all screwed.
Right. There are still local farmers that produce beef, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Support them.
Yeah. That's where I was going.
Yeah.
You know, it may cost $1 a pound more, but, hey, this is America.
Yeah.
Let's support our own. What I hear on the news this week, that the New York City kids had to stay home from school because the refugees were going to be housed in their school. So they kicked them out of school, sent them home to do homeschooling because the refugees that are illegally coming to our country, and I won't get many more political than this, but I just scratched my head. It's like, what has America come to?
Yeah.
When we have to kick our own kids out of school to send the refugees, give them a place to stay. And I realize it's a crazy situation there, but, oh, man, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's just wrong in my world.
I'm thinking they wouldn't do that for American kids going to their country.
I'm thinking you're right, you know, but I don't want to get this political. I'm talking about meat, and that's a lot more fun. But so in the meat case then, you know, we talked about that wonderful standing prime. That's a premier cut that you sell. What are some of the more affordable cuts? And I say that tongue-in-cheek because it is what it is, right? You're very fair with your pricing, and the quality is always spectacular. But what are some of the maybe the more budget-friendly cuts that still have good flavor, and then maybe we can talk about if they're tender or not and how to cook them, maybe?
Well, I'm going to touch bases real quick because we just talked about that prime rib. So where the break is in the cattle, that breaks off from the chuck. The chuck, think of that pot roast, right? But the first like 6-7 inches of that chuck roll is I call blue collar prime rib.
Okay.
So that's getting into on the bone would be a bone in chuck roast or boneless, then that first few inches is that boneless chuck eye roast.
Okay.
And that's like eating prime rib. So it's a little bit chewier. There's more connective tissue, but the flavor of it is the same. At a lot less money than what the prime rib is.
So there's the tip of the day right there, but it's a chuck eye roast, not a chuck roast. And that eye is the difference. You're closer to that prime rib.
It's a continuation of the prime rib into the chuck.
Right.
And then even now as we got a good, cold, snowy, crappy weekend, you want to just hunker down and make that good pot roast. I'm telling you, get one of the bone-in pot roast off that local beef. That, I'm telling you, my friend, is the best.
And what would you? And how would you? Is that a crock pot item? Is that an oven item? Or what do you usually do with that?
Yep, either one. So a lot of times for Teresa and I, you know, we'll do a smaller one that's crock pot item. Back in the day, then we get out the old Dutch oven and build it and then put that in the oven and then just let it go all afternoon. Yeah,
Bob's channeling right now that we recommended Dutch oven. I mean, it's like his favorite cooking appliance.
Yeah.
He loves his Dutch oven. But anyway, what the Dutch oven does is it keeps the moisture in and the cast heats evenly. So you get a nice uniform cook. You're not searing the bottom and burning the bottom while you're cooking. It just keeps all that moisture in there, stays very, very tender and juicy.
And back in the day, actually we still have it, we don't use it as often because the family is smaller, but you got your electric frying pan.
Oh, yeah.
But they made one that was, you know, a lot bigger, so bigger than, you know, what a skillet would be, and deep, so then you can get all your vegetables in there, onions and mushroom. If you haven't put fresh onions and mushrooms in a pot roast, make sure you do that. It puts so much more juice and flavors into it, and then it can just sit and percolate on the countertop all afternoon.
Wow, awesome. Yeah, well, you know, there you go. I mean, chuck is not bad. Chuck is very beefy flavor.
And, very, very beefy flavor.
But a chuck eye, you're going to kind of get the best of both worlds because it's a little more tender, right? And maybe not quite as much connective tissue. in
yep.
it.
Yep. And then take and turn that into, you know, get a piece of pork and you got a combination roast.
Yeah.
And other than a picnic ham, ham gravy is the best gravy on planet Earth.
Right.
Then yep. the second one would be pork and beef roast gravy.
Yeah.
That combination.
Yep. Ooh, very good. But anyway, so we didn't even touch on most of that beef counter. I'm disappointed. But coming up next, we're going to move down to toward the middle of the counter. We might hit some poultry. So if you're looking for a yard bird, stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see...
Welcome back. You listen to the grilling guys. Hey, if you just tuned in, Barbecue Bob is out today, and I've got Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats sitting in with me, which is always a treat. We just spent a little bit of time in the beef section of his meat counter, which is long. And so we're going to move a little bit to the east, I believe it'd be, in the store, and look at some poultry. Now, we had, you know, really weird things with the eggs earlier in the year when they had the avian flu, but poultry still remains to me to be a pretty steady product. Is it having price fluctuations like the beef does?
Yeah, it doesn't fluctuate anything like beef does.
Right.
And so certainly, and we've talked about that different times, poultry is like the best value of a protein.
Right.
Is chicken especially, but even turkey.
Yeah.
You know, turkey is a great value also.
Yeah. So we should talk a little bit about that. But the chicken parts, right? Do you sell a lot of whole chickens, or is most of the stuff cut up that goes out of the store?
I would say most of it would be cut up. So probably the two volume items would be boneless breast,
right,
and boneless thighs.
Okay.
And after that, you know, wings you got in there. The fryers, you know, we'll sell them as whole, split, quartered, or an 8-piece cut.
Okay.
So whatever the customer's looking
for. But those would have skin
for.
On then.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Yep.
Got to have the skin on that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. But those are... I scratch my head because it's just supply and demand, and we just had Michigan win the national championship. That was a wing event, right?
Yeah.
We've got the Lions playing on Sunday in the playoffs for the first time in, I don't know, 30 years or something. But explain this thing on wings. Is it just all demand? Because wings are more in most cases than the skinless, boneless breast, which is a lot better eaten.
Right. And certainly the two things, marketing and demand.
Okay.
Those two things, the wing is the prize part of the chicken. And one of the prize parts of the pig are the ribs.
Right.
And then, you know, for beef, brisket.
Right.
And the other one with beef that really, really has come on like a freight train are the short ribs.
Yeah. Right.
And you can see that in the price. That's just driving up tremendously.
Really?
But
there's only so many of them on a cow, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, the boniest offcuts that were discarded for years and years and years.
Right.
Are the prized possessions now.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody likes chicken wings, and there's a million ways to produce them. But it just seems it used to be the throwaway piece, and now it's like the prized piece.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. The chicken is actually raised for the wings.
Really?
A couple years ago. Coming out of COVID, we were paying, our cost was over $4 a pound for wings.
Wow.
And so they were, you know, about $7 a pound to get a
right
flapper, you know.
Right, yeah.
And so for about 4 or 5 years, I've really tried promoting drumsticks, and take your favorite wing recipe and use drumsticks. They're like a quarter the cost.
Yeah.
And people are, as I say, you know, we're like zombies, must have wings,
yeah.
Right? And we can't do that. We have to have the wing. Everybody has wings. But try that sometimes. There is a budget. try the drumstick and do it like your wings.
Right. And they can be. Now, I do wings a lot of different ways. My favorite way is I get some Old World. This is an interesting little quick recipe. You sell a lot of rubs and seasonings, and they're categorically based on what's in them. They might have a different regional name, right? And there's one that's called Pig's Ass.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a Memphis rub, and that means it's got a little bit of citrus in it, and it's not quite as sweet. It's got a little tang to it. So that rub with Old World Olive Company makes a lime-infused olive oil. So I'll put a half a cup on maybe 3 pounds of wings, put them in a Ziploc bag, pour a half a cup of that oil on there, rub it around, and just let them set in there for maybe an hour. And then when I pull them out, I coat them with the Memphis rub,
yeah,
and then throw them on a smoker, right? And that little flavor combination, if you haven't ever tried it, give it a try. I mean, I cook for a lot of people a lot of the time, right? And I've had more people go, I don't know what is on your wings, but that's amazing. And it's that little secret, yeah, right there. It's super easy. You're not doing anything special. I'm not massaging the wing any different than anybody else would. I just season it up with those two things, and it'll be amazing. And it's the lime olive oil that's different.
Yeah,
it's an infused oil, but it makes the seasoning stick. And run your smoker a little hotter, because you want there's nothing worse to me than a rubbery wing.
Yeah, the skin,
right,
on it.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And I got to get it cooked down, dried out a little bit, crisp up maybe.
Yeah.
Not a big deep fryer. A lot of people love them deep fried, but the mess of getting a deep fryer out and getting the oil out. And then the problem, I don't mind all of that. It's at the end. What do I do with a quart of, you know, used oil? I can filter it, but I generally don't, you know.
So then save that, you know, if you do backyard fires,
yeah,
or you go camping, whatever, we'll do that. We'll save leftover oil for the campfire.
Okay.
And don't put it all on at once, so to speak, but that's a great fire starter.
Oh,
just,
yeah,
kind of drizzle that over the wood, and then whatever that piece of paper, whatever you start it with,
yeah, bam,
you're off and running.
Yep, cool. That's good.
The lime, real quickly, just to touch on that,
mm-hmm,
on a hot dish like that, especially lime juice, there's a little something that just gives so much kick with that citrus.
Yep.
Like, think of that like with your Mexican food.
Oh, yeah.
Take a little fresh lime and squeeze that over the top,
yep,
of
the acidic, you know, part,
yeah,
of that.
Oh, and my gosh. Zing, that just, yeah, yeah, lights it right up.
Yep. So did you do a lot of fresh turkeys during Thanksgiving this year?
Yes, we did. Yeah. Yeah. Over 300. Now, we've been working with Otto's for,
right,
20 years now since we've been in business. And I'm sold on that local fresh turkey anyway. Yeah.
So tell me the difference between a fresh and a frozen turkey, and why somebody, because they're a little more money. Right,
yep.
And they take the same amount of work in, yep, my mind. And they probably just don't have a button that pops up and tells you when it's done. But that's what a thermometer's for.
That's what it's made for. Yeah,
right, yeah, right.
And so the biggest difference, and I'm not mentioning names, but this is the truth of the matter. A lot of the big box stores, and they have their 39, 59 cent frozen turkey. A lot of those turkeys are 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
So they're dumping them out. That's why they got them so cheap.
Right.
You go in and you spend $100, you get that bird, and you get all the other stuff to go with it. It's great and wonderful, et cetera, but that fresh bird, you just get so much more flavor with it. It stays moister. Even that breast meat stays moister,
right,
when it's all finished up.
And those fresh turkeys are not 2 or 3 years old, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're this year's, yeah.
Right. So they might be a few months old. I don't know exactly how it is, but what I do know is they're tender.
Yep.
And they're super tender. And they come ready because you don't have to pluck them. You don't have to do any of that. They're ready to cook.
Yes.
Right? But, and do they're generally a little bigger, I think, too, is the fresh turkeys all, they seem to be 12, 15, 18 pounds. Is that right, or is that maybe just the ones I've always had?
No, there's, and actually the biggest one we ever did from Otto's is where we get ours, was a 35-pound turkey.
And that's dressed, ready to cook.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was...
That'd take up a whole oven.
Oh, it took two oven bags. Believe me, I had to put one over each end, and they didn't connect in the middle. I mean, you know, overlap.
Yeah.
And that was the best bird. And growing up, even mom, oh, you got to get that young, you know, hen, turkey, whatever, 12, 14 pounds, they're tender, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it hits me as you grow up, and I thought, wait a minute. Babies don't have an amount of bones when they're born. Now you get 14 and all of a sudden you start growing more bones.
Right, right.
That doesn't happen. Right,
right. Right.
So the structure is the structure. So they got the same amount of bones. In my opinion, any poultry, the bigger the bird, the better the flavor.
Right.
They have a chance to mature, get some fat on them and flavor.
Fat is flavor. Yes. Always has been. Always will be. Well, cool. Poultry's a little boring, but I chicken 2 or 3 days a week. Right, just because my wife tries to eat healthy, and that's what she likes. So, and it's versatile.
Yeah,
right? The skinless boneless breast. You all know you
can, and the boneless skinless thigh.
My favorite, much better than
what a quick piece. Yeah,
right. When I do barbecues and I do chicken for people, it's always a skinless boneless thigh.
Yeah,
always
more flavor,
moist,
cook quick.
Yeah, yep, all of that except the seasonings or marinades or whatever you do. All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to go high on hog and give it a try because there's lots of cuts of pork. I think that this is a good value, too. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys. Appreciate you tuning in. Winter is here where we are. If it is with you, nestle up beside your grill and stay warm because it is not the season to stop grilling. We are doing this year-round. Barbecue Bob is out today. Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats has made some time for us today, and we really appreciate that, Tim. We've been running up and down the meat counter at your store. We're at the pork section now, and I just wanted, during the break, we were talking a little bit about, I do a lot of barbecue catering, as you guys might expect, and the pork we do is usually pork butts, right? The front shoulder of a pig. You smoke it for 8, 9, 10 hours, get it to 200 degrees, you pull it, and it's moist and it's tasty, but it's boring, right? There's not a lot of flavor in a pork butt, except that I put on it and in it. Right. So I was like, what could I do? And I'm thinking sausage. Talk to me because it's pork sausage. It's generally the pork shoulder ground up, maybe some other parts.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
That make the sausage. Right.
So, yeah. All the off cuts.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. So an off cuts would be what?
So pork loin up in the shoulder. If you're not using the hocks,
yep.
The hams, the back hams. And so all that leftover meat that isn't a regular cut goes into sausage.
Okay.
Trimmings, all that.
Sure, yep. So talk about, I said during the break, I want something with a little zip, something that's memorable. What would you suggest for a sausage that, you got kielbasas, your Sobey's kielbasa and your Parkside kielbasa are fantastic. Can I smoke kielbasa and serve it on a buffet? Is that the right way to do it, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, anyway, and actually, as you know, I don't have any feelings left.
Right.
So in telling you, probably the number one sausage we sell would be the Parkside kielbasa.
Oh, it's fabulous.
And obviously, it's not our recipe, but I don't have any feelings left to hurt. I don't care.
Right.
It's a recipe that's been around Grand Rapids for 60 years.
Right.
And it's a great recipe.
Right.
It comes from Parkside ShopRite,
right,
which is no longer open. I worked there back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And when it finally closed after we were open, so in the 2000s,
mm-hmm.
Then we were given the recipe for that. And we sell a lot of it. So It doesn't matter to me if that's what you use. Very, very versatile. And so, yes, you can just cook that as some people want to just simmer it on the stove, do it on a cookie sheet in the oven. However you do that, put it on the smoker, there's no wrong way.
Right, right. And that's got a natural casing on it.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So if you get it cooked done, I don't particularly care for it boiled because I like that casing to snap a little bit.
Absolutely. And even if you were to do that, to simmer it for a little bit, then brown it, that's when the magic happens, is when you brown that casing on the outside.
Yeah.
We've done it before, like if we were up camping, and then we got where we were bringing kielbasa with us for when we had a normal schedule before the shop. But Friday night, we get to the campground, and we always had kielbasa dogs for dinner. Yeah. It was quick, easy, so we'd simmer it at home. We get to the campground, cut it into some pieces, stick it on a weenie fork over the fire, but even brush some barbecue sauce on it.
Ooh.
It sounds sacrilegious to do that, but man, was that good. And then putting that on a bun.
Yeah.
Brad's mustard is another great one we have in the shop to put on that sausage. And as we know, for that time you're getting together, whether it's going to be the Lions winning, it's going to be Super Bowl, having that charcuterie board is great, even if you prepare that and some other sausages, cut that up, put that out with cheeses and crackers. And
Right. It's not wrong.
There's not a wrong way to do it.
That's good. So pork is one of the affordable, reasonably affordable. I say that tongue in cheek because everything's gone up.
Yeah.
But still great cuts of meat. And what part of the pig is flying off the shelf? No pun intended.
That still is going to be the ribs.
Is it?
Yeah. And depending on the time of the year, but obviously, in those sausages, a lot of brats and things still go. But another one this time of year that we do a pork cutlet, and we'll do them breaded and unbreaded. So we bread them with a panko, and they're quick and easy. And for just a couple people, they are so delicious. They go fast. A little bit of olive oil in a nonstick pan, kind of sear them on both sides.
Right.
And then just cover them, let them just finish off just a titch. We've talked different times. Pork, as long as it's not free-range pork, they basically eliminated trichinosis.
Okay.
So we don't serve it bloody, but even a pork chop, don't cook the heck out. You don't have to cook it to 165. We cook it to about 150.
Right.
And then it's still juicy, but not
pink.
Bloody. A little pink.
Yep. Yeah. And my mom, growing up, I hated, bless her heart, but I hated her pork chops. If you were out skating and you lost the puck, you could come in and get one of her chops and bat that around, and it'd be just the same. They were so overdone because of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is in the 70s and early 80s when I'm growing up, so maybe the trichinosis was potential.
It was still prevalent, absolutely.
Yeah. So like I said, bless her heart, she did what she had to do.
Yeah.
And I'm no worse for the wear. But, you know, when I started cooking it, it's like there's got to be a better way because it doesn't need to be this dry and chewy.
Right.
Right? And
absolutely.
That's just it, is don't overcook it.
Yeah.
Right? And put a little, don't be afraid to a little seasoning on it.
Yep, seasoning. And then the other one for chops, we'll do boneless and bone in, and we'll do stuffed ones.
Oh,
so now
so good.
Here's that crappy snow day, right?
Right.
And what do we want to have? Good stuffed pork chops. And then you know, it's a bought product, but it's still so good. We have Heinz pork gravy out of a jar.
Right.
And we'll finish off with the last few minutes. We'll dump that gravy over there when the chops are just about done.
Yep.
Throw it in for about 5 to 10 minutes, and it warms that up. And that stuffing sops up all that gravy.
Oh, yeah,
goodness.
Man.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah. That's really good. And like, that's comfort food with a capital C.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're baking those, right?
Yeah.
Predominantly with that stuffing in there, really difficult to grill. Because when you're grilling, you usually turn things a couple times, and the stuffing could fall out as it begins to cook. It dries up a little bit, just a natural process. And so you might be able to get away with them on a smoker, but they're best in a cast iron pan for me. And then I flip them once and I'm good. And you put a lid on, like you said, with some gravy and ooh.
Yeah, really we have stuffed pork tenderloins also.
Ooh.
And so we'll do those in the oven there again, last few minutes. Just dump the gravy over the top. And it's about maybe just a little bit more than you need for two people, but
right.
I'm not leaving any prisoners behind, right. so we're going to eat it up.
And that tenderloin is not the one that's the size of a softball, but it's the smaller one, maybe by the size of a tennis ball.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the tenderloin, yep. And it's from a different part of the animal.
Yep.
Inside tenderloin. Yeah, inside tenderloin versus the back loin.
Yeah.
So, but interesting. Now, the back loin, do most people buy that in a chunk as a roast, or do you cut it into chops, a boneless pork loin chop?
Yeah, so both. We okay. sell a lot of both, and it's kind of funny that, so here again now, this with this snowy weather,
yep.
doing that boneless pork roast is a great time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then if it's really nice and you think of in December, what beautiful days we had,
right?
And you want to take and throw those on the grill or throw some in the smoker, bread them up, whatever you want to do, a very, very versatile piece of meat.
Right.
So for Christmas, we had a number of people that got that whole boneless pork loin
mm-hmm.
did as a roast
right.
for everybody to come over. You don't have the exorbitant price of a prime rib or beef tenderloin.
Right.
But you're still feeding people and keeping them happy.
Right. And you can, you know, bacon wrap that thing. You
yep.
can do a lot of cool stuff with a pork loin. It's, like you said, super versatile.
Yeah.
You really can't hurt it unless you overcook it.
Yep.
Right.
There is, real quickly, I'll try to.
No, you're fine.
Because you can't. See radio, right?
Right.
I wish you could see me, but
no. Maybe some people are grateful, right?
Yeah.
Conrad, you've been in this your whole career.
Oh yeah, buddy. Yeah.
So if you could think of looking at the end of that boneless pork loin, and if you made like a almost like a Z cut, but think of like trying to instead of just butterflying it,
right.
one cut and laying it open, you do another cut. So you're thinking a third, a third, a third, and it lays that pork loin open wider,
right
it's about the same thickness, and then we've stuffed those, and then there's enough meat where we can tie it over, and it makes think of like a donut where you have meat all the way around the outside and the stuffing is through the middle.
Ooh.
And then we'll tie that up, season it,
right?
And then when you go to serve it, leave the strings on there, and if you cut between the strings, it makes a beautiful presentation.
Yep.
Because you have that donut, a pork donut on the plate, pork around the outside, stuffing on the yep. middle, and gravy on top.
Ooh, good.
Don't forget the Hawaiian roll.
Right, yeah. Tim, if people want to find you at the meat market, let everybody know where you are again.
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker, Michigan.
My favorite place on earth to buy meat, no question. And if you've not been there, you are missing out. Get over there and see Tim and Teresa and the whole gang. It's a wonderful place. You've been listening to The Grilling Guys. Tim, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.